Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is the first of the month. Don't forget to pay those bills, right? Pay that rent. November 1st, 2018. Can you believe that? Just 2 months left of 2018, and then hello, 2019. Where has this year gone? Wow. Well, happy November to you all. I'm sure. Yeah, there's a few people I've seen doing this, actually, on social media. The day after Halloween, and by the way, I hope you guys had a great Halloween. But the day after, I see many of you on Facebook already putting up your Christmas tree. You know, I've seen a few houses here in Lansing already with lights on it. I'm like, man, you guys start immediately after Halloween. I can't hate, though, because I am a big fan of Thanksgiving and Christmas, two of my favorite holidays of the year. So happy holidays to you all. And I do also want to give a big shout out. I'm texting right now, and I've been texting since last night, my guy Anthony Iani. Former MSU men's basketball player under Tom Izzo, of course. And Ant said, Al, you won't believe my costume that I have for Halloween. And I'm like, all right, man, well, shoot me a pic when you once you get all did up. And he shot me a pic, and it's actually Ant dressed up as Sting, the famous wrestler Sting from back in the day. And it's a pretty good costume impression of Sting, almost down to the T. And can you imagine, you know, Ann is like, you know, he's well over 6 feet. I mean, dude is like 6'5", 6'6", walking around in a Sting outfit, you know, face painted white and black. He's got the Sting shirt on. He's got a long black leather jacket. He's got the baseball bat. I mean, can you imagine a dude that big walking around looking like Sting? Crazy stuff. I mean, the costume is so good. It actually, Ant sent me a picture of his Twitter feed right before I got on the air. And it's so good that Sting himself, his official Twitter account, follow Ant today. So shout out to Anthony Iani, again, former MSU men's basketball player, with what I believe to be the best costume that I saw of the Halloween season yesterday. All right. But it is November 1st, 2018, and we've got a lot to get to on this, again, Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. There is an update when it comes to this whole DJ Durkin and University of Maryland situation. Those who tuned in to yesterday's Current Sports, you heard my rant voicing my displeasure of how idiotic the move was to bring back Durkin. You know, Wallace Lowe, the president of the University of Maryland, he was displeased with the move, so much so that he has decided to step down after the academic year. Maryland yesterday, news broke yesterday evening that they would in fact be firing DJ Durkin. So they brought him back and decided, never mind, psych. We're actually going to fire him. So DJ Durkin is now no longer the head coach of the University of Maryland. Maryland has totally just botched this entire situation, totally mishandled it. We'll have brief thoughts on that. Also, we'll finally get to the discussion centered on the MSU men's basketball team. Our show was so loaded with the Durkin stuff yesterday. Didn't leave as much time to talk about, again, the takeaways from the MSU men's basketball win against Northern Michigan this week. I don't know how much you can draw from that game because they're playing Northern Michigan. Not a great team. not a great team. Tom Izzo's alma mater. Naba Echols, really the only stud for that squad. I'll give you a few takeaways, though, when it comes to MSU men's basketball, as they now prepare for the Champions Classic out in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse next week against number one Kansas. So then we'll really know what this team is made of, at least right now, come next week, all right? Also, Darren Weiss will join me here on the show, a dear friend of Current Sports. He is a former MSU women's basketball scout team player who is now an aspiring actor, or I should say actor, not aspiring. He's really doing it out in California now. And Darren is going to help us preview tonight's MSU women's basketball opener as Susie Merchant's team will open up the season officially against Hillsdale. And Darren will kind of reflect on his time with Susie Merchant and that team, that program, I should say, during his time as a scout player. So you don't want to miss that. And it's possible that we may get, again, I'm not guaranteeing it, but we may get DeShaun Tate, college basketball reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta on the show because there's a pretty big get for Tom Izzo's men's basketball team. We'll tell you who that is in just a moment. And we hope to have, possibly, we'll possibly have DeShaun on to talk about this young stud of a player. And it's Thursday, and you guys know each and every Thursday we hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We have a few throwback Thursday moments for you. We'll do all of that, while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the discussion. 517-355-9527 is the number to call, 517-355-WKAR. You can go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, where we have the live stream up and kicking. You can comment below that video, and I will do my best to get to your comments throughout the 60 minutes. And you can tweet the show. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. But you know how we get this party started. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and you know what? Before I move forward, Jack, today is called, what, the Day of the Dead? Like, the day after Halloween is the Day of the Dead, right? Why do they call it that? You know that? I don't know.
Day of the Dead?
Yeah, the Day of the Dead. That's what Ben is actually, he commented on our Facebook page.
Okay.
And they call it the Day of the Dead. I've heard of that before, but yeah, it's actually October 31st to November 2nd, 2018. Well, actually, here, I have it here. It's a Mexican holiday.
Oh, yeah, Day of the Dead. Right. Oh, I didn't know that was right after Halloween.
I had no idea either, because you know what? Now I'm having flashbacks. I'm a movie buff, right?
Yeah.
And in the movie Skyfall, James Bond is actually in Mexico during the Day of the Dead before some stuff pops off. So, and they dress up in costumes and everything. But yeah, Day of the Dead. Happy Day of the Dead.
There you go. You know what? The only Mexican holiday I can ever remember is Cinco de Mayo, for obvious reasons.
Exactly.
Like when it is, so.
Right. And also, did you have a good Halloween, man?
Yeah, it was good. You know, my buddy and I, we actually just stayed in. I was too tired to go out.
Really?
I'm getting old, man. When I was like a freshman and sophomore, we'd go to frats or house parties all the time. I don't have the energy for that anymore, and I'm not old enough to go to the bars yet.
I hear you. Well, if you're getting old, I must be ancient then, brother, because again.
But you can go to the bars is different. Like, you can go out with your buddies to a club or to, like, bars or something. I'm still only 20.
Right. That's true. That is true. So, yeah you're kind of hindered when it comes to that. Yeah. All right. I feel you on that. My Halloween, I just basically stayed in, and I'm a big, like, I love the shows of that have to do with the paranormal. I'm just fascinated with that stuff. So the Travel Channel had like this live
paranormal investigation for like 4 hours.
The Travel Channel?
I know.
You are getting old.
I never watched the Travel Channel, but only if they have paranormal investigations, though, because I'm like fascinated with that stuff. So,
gotcha. All right.
This paranormal investigator, who's like best friends with like rapper Post Malone, for goodness sake. That's so random.
In the show or in like real life?
In real life.
Is this like a real life paranormal investigation?
His name is Zach. Oh, my goodness. He's the host of a show called Zach Baggins, Ghost Adventures with Zach Baggins.
Okay.
And you remember when Post Malone, he got, like, his plane had a malfunction, right?
Yeah.
And he got into a car accident three days after that. Then some guys robbed his house 4 days after that.
Jeez.
It was said, and this was a big story, like TMZ broke this and everything. He's friends with Zach Baggins, and there's this haunted, they call it the most haunted object in the world. It's like a cabinet from back in the day where some crazy stuff happened. But on video, because he has this museum, Zach Baggins has a museum, right? And I guess they were hanging out, Post Malone and Zach Baggins were hanging out, right? They got some beers and they go to the museum alone, and they decide to just, you know, Zach gives him a tour and he brings him in this room with this cabinet. And Zach just feels compelled to touch it, and he touches the cabinet. Post touches Zach, and that said that the curse got on Post.
This is straight out of an Indiana Jones movie.
Isn't it?
Right.
Isn't it, man?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why he had that string of bad luck. That's what they're saying. It's creepy stuff, though, man.
Okay.
It's creepy stuff. So that's how I spent my Halloween. All right, now to some sports. The MSU women's basketball team will open up the 2018-19 campaign with its only exhibition matchup against Hillsdale, a D2 team out of Hillsdale, Michigan. This will be the first time in over a decade that the Chargers face a Big Ten team in an exhibition. The Spartans return four of their top five scorers from last season in redshirt junior Shea Colley, junior Taryn McCutcheon, senior Jenna Allen, and sophomore Sydney Cooks. MSU does say goodbye to all-conference honorees Brandi Agee and Taya Reimer, who are both playing overseas. Michigan State finished last season with a 19-14 overall record, 7-9 in the Big Ten Conference, advancing to the third round of the WNIT. Also, big get for Tom Izzo and the MSU men's basketball team. MSU added another piece to that 2019 recruiting class today when four-star forward Malik Hall of Sunrise Christian in Wichita, Kansas, announced he was committing. 6'7" Hall chose the Spartans ahead of other finalists in Purdue and Oregon. Hall, who attends the same school as former Spartan Lou Rawls Tum-Tum Naren Jr., is rated the number 52 player in the nation, according to 247 Sports. He joins former Old Redford Academy and current Spire Academy guard Mark Rocket Watts, the number 32 player in the nation, who committed to MSU in late September. More on this get for Tom Izzo's team in a moment. Also, it's a big week for visiting recruits out in Ann Arbor, and Detroit's star receiver Rashawn Williams will be in attendance throughout the Penn State football game. Williams, Detroit Kings four-star wide receiver, will be at the game. Williams is 6'1", 185 pounds. He was, he has 24 offers, and 247 Sports has him as the 24th best wide receiver in the country and the third-ranked player in the state of Michigan's class of 2020 behind Oak Park's Justin Rogers and Enzo Jennings. Enzo, I like that name. Also, pretty heavy story here that we've been following this week. You heard my rant. For those that tuned in yesterday, you heard my rant on this. The University of Maryland has totally botched this whole situation. And again, after bringing DJ Durkin back for like, what, one day, they decided to fire him. One day after his reinstatement. In a statement sent out to the university community, President Wallace D. Lowe said, quote, "The chair of the Board of Regents has publicly acknowledged that I previously raised serious concerns about Coach Durkin's return. This is not at all a reflection of my opinion of Coach Durkin as a person. However, a departure is in the best interest of the university, and this afternoon, Coach Durkin was informed that the university will part ways. This is a difficult decision, but it is the right one for our entire university. I will devote the remaining months of my presidency to advancing the needed reforms in our athletic department that prioritize the safety and well-being of our students, end quote. Again, that statement coming from University President at the University of Maryland, Wallace D. Lowe. Now, because Durkin was fired without cause, according to the university spokesperson Jessica Jennings, under the terms of his contract, Durkin would be owed, as I made this point yesterday, about $5.5 million. Offensive coordinator Matt Canada retains his interim head coaching status. All right, the Michigan State women's volleyball team, the tough 3-1 decision at number 13 Purdue last night. The Spartan Boilermakers battled from whistle to whistle as MSU had leads in three of the four sets, but were overtaken late in the third and four frames by the more experienced Boilermakers. Michigan State jumps back into action this Saturday when it travels to Minneapolis for a showdown with number 3 Minnesota. Also, my Detroit Pistons lost to the lowly Brooklyn Nets. Spencer Dinwiddie continues to haunt on Halloween, right? Get it? His former team, as he hit a game-winning three-pointer with just 7 seconds left in overtime to lead the Nets over the Pistons. A heartbreaking 120-119 loss for the red, white, and royal blue. Dinwiddie and Joe Harris led the way for the home Nets, scoring 25 points and 23 points, respectively. Blake Griffin scored 25 points, while Andre Drummond tallied 24 points, 23 rebounds in his second 2020 game on the young year. The 4-3 Pistons now head to Philly on Saturday, so it doesn't get easy. On the heels of a 3-game losing streak to take on, of course, the 76ers. Justin Fromer is live here in studio as well, and he has news on the Detroit Red Wings, who will be in action at home tonight.
Yeah, how about those hot Red Wings? They've won now 2 straight, 3 out of their last 5. And as I mentioned earlier in the week, the offense starting to pick up a bit. 9 goals in their last 2 games combined. And they'll be looking for now their 3rd straight win tonight when they host the New Jersey Devils at Little Caesars Arena. Puck drop slated for 7:30. Wings no longer in the cellar of the NHL standings. 8 points now. Got a couple teams lower than them. So
which teams are that?
Damn it.
It's the Panthers and then someone else.
It's the Panthers? Who are the two teams that
are?
Yeah,
let me check on this.
Can we check
Vegas was down there with them. LA was down there with them. Let's
I believe
take a
it's
look.
Florida and LA.
Yep, Florida okay. and LA are the two teams. Mm. Okay. All right. Well, again, 2 straight. Let's see if they can make it 3 tonight. And also, the Lions have added a new player. Who is that, Justin?
The Lions have signed free agent linebacker Kelvin Shepard to the team. That move corresponds with the trade earlier in the week. It sent wide receiver Golden Tate to the Eagles for a 3rd-round pick. Matt Patricia said the deal was a difficult decision. This is regarding Tate, and he was confident, and he has confidence in the players still on the team ahead of a big game against Minnesota this weekend. Interesting move signing Shepard. Linebacker has been a very iffy spot for the Lions this weekend. Coming from the Giants, where he made 11 starts in 2006, excuse me, 6 starts last season for the Giants and then 11 in 2016. Mm-hmm. Patricia has some familiarity with that franchise, gotten a bunch of players, including Romeo Okwara and Devin Kennard, who are making big strides with the Lions this year. So makes sense that he's getting players, another player from that franchise.
Yeah, that secondary needs help. So we'll see if Kelvin can come in and make an immediate impact. We'll see. All right. Well, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. A lot we're talking about. And, you know, in just a moment, in a matter of just minutes here, I want to also bring some news to you all concerning former Michigan State alumni, Executive Director Scott Westerman. For more on that, though, let's take a brief beat. And we'll bring that news to you.
Thank you.
All right, a lot to get to on today's current sports. And Justin Frommer, you're still in studio with us. We'll be talking about, in just a moment, the Michigan State and Northern Michigan men's basketball game. You know, it was hard for a lot of fans to tune in to that matchup if you weren't in the Breslin Center walls, just because the game was broadcast on BTN Plus. It wasn't on the Big Ten Network. ESPN didn't have it. Fox Sports didn't have it. It's an exhibition. That's what usually happens during that first exhibition game for the Michigan State men's basketball team. So the Big Ten Network student you held it down there. You were at that game covering it. I was watching it as well. And again, I don't know if you can come to like any hard conclusions about just how good. I still think we're still figuring out this team right now. As far as my expectations for MSU basketball, when just talking to the players in media day, hearing what Coach Izzo had to say during media day, watching that very first game exhibition against, again, Northern Michigan, you have to shift the lens in which you dissect the game like that. For me, I don't know if we can put any expectations on this team right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the Big Ten and made a make a deep run come March. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if they went out the first weekend like they've done in the past few years here. So, you know, for Michigan State right now, I still think we don't know what they are. We will know a lot more, at least right now in the preliminary stages of the season, when they do take on number one ranked Kansas in the Champions Classic out in Indy. Because bottom line, they handled business. They did what they were supposed to do against Northern Michigan earlier this week. Right, Justin?
Absolutely. And there were a lot of positives to take out in terms of play, considering it was a Division II opponent.
Right.
Nick Ward looked good. Cassius Winston looked fast. You got some good plays from some of the freshmen. Aaron Henry looked like he's going to be very valuable to this team.
I think he can come in and immediately begin to, you know, make an impact in the rotation. He just looks he's a confident kid, isn't he?
Yeah.
Seeing him in the game, it was just ready. Like, yeah, I belong here. You know?
Absolutely. And I mean, and you saw some surprises with Marcus Bingham in his production, and obviously.
Do you think they redshirt him?
I don't, just because what Marcus was talking about after the game with reporters is that he doesn't want to.
Right.
And of course, a performance like that, that's going to make fans, you know, question the decision to redshirt him as well. And I mean, you're not gonna learn by sitting on the bench. Yeah, you can take that time to get stronger and build muscle and put on some weight, but you're not gonna learn in game. How much are you gonna learn in practice from different situations? You gotta learn on the fly.
Because that's the thing. Tom Izzo during media day said that he may be a possible redshirt candidate, right? But after seeing him, and again, it's against Northern Michigan, but you know, I marked, you know, the stretch I'm talking about when he had 10 straight points for Michigan State. You know, he had a putback. Well, he had a three before this sequence started. He had a three to start the sequence, and he had a crazy putback. Then hits another three pointer, and then he has an and one. And the thing about Mark is, yeah, when you look at his frame, he needs to hit the weight room. And it is the thing; he's a freshman. He's just getting here on campus. The weight will come, I think, because right now he looks like Tayshaun Prince, a taller version of Tayshaun Prince for the Pistons. He's real skinny. He's got to put on weight. I would be, you know, telling Marcus, hey man, have a hamburger every other hour, dude. But that will come. But watching his game right now and how comfortable he was in that first matchup, I say why not play him? You know, I wouldn't redshirt him this year. I say, you know, throw him in a rotation.
Absolutely. His skill set is NBA ready. And just
it is. And that shot he has, nice form on it. Like, you know, like. He looks very comfortable in the basketball court as well.
And one of the quotes that I loved from Media Day that I got talking to Kenny Goins is that he said right now his shot and his dribbling ability is on par or even better with what Jaren Jackson was at the end of last year.
Wow.
Obviously, he still has some, you know, basketball IQ and learning the game and getting his body informed that isn't up to where Jaren Jackson was.
Right.
But in terms of the skill set, Goins compared him up to or even better to where Jaren Jackson is.
Definitely. A few other takeaways. This is what Tom Izzo does at the very beginning of the season as well. It's going to be an experiment moving forward when it comes. Well, I'll say this. Really not, though. I think the starting lineup that Izzo rolled with this week, Cassius Winston, Matt McQuaid, Josh Langford, Kenny Goins, and Nick Ward. The only tweak I would make when it comes to that lineup probably is I'll probably sit Goins down and throw in Xavier Tillman there. But, you know, Izzo likes the energy that Xavier brings coming off that bench. But Cash is going to be your starter, without a doubt. Josh is going to be in the starting lineup. We all know the juniors. Nick is going to be in your starting lineup. Matt McQuaid is a captain. I think he's going to be in the starting lineup throughout the season as well. So it's really just that fourth position, that fifth position when it comes to Kenny Goins that can be played with a little bit. I would like to see maybe since Goins got to start against Northern Michigan, let's see how Tillman deals with it going against the number one team in the nation against Kansas out in Indy come next week. But for the most part, this starting lineup isn't going to change much, I don't think.
No, and I think with the matchup that they have against Kansas, they may be better off starting Tillman because of the size that Kansas has down low with the likes of Udoka Azubuike and others.
Right.
But I think that last spot will come down to, Kenny Goins showed some flashes at times last year. He had that stretch a couple games where, he was shooting the ball pretty well and he was defending pretty well. And he's shown that he can rebound for the most part above average. And I think that's going to come down to if he can hold that spot. He's got to consistently do that well. And the only negative really that I didn't mention from that Thursday night game, and you mentioned Josh Langford as a starter, is he kind of struggled a bit from the field. It could have been just first game, but didn't look like he was creating much space off the dribble. A lot of shots were very contested.
Yeah. And, he had some nice drives. What surprised me with Josh,
the second half was much better than the first half.
He was willing, when that jump shot wasn't falling, he was willing to put the ball on the floor and go to the basket to try and get some easy layups.
And that's going to be the key for him, really, and for Michigan State, or at least one of the keys, is that he's got to be able to develop, other than that mid-range jumper and that three-point shot, he's got to be able to do something else when he's not able to create that space.
Exactly. And I think he's got a good first step. I think he could get to the paint and possibly get fouled or finish. I think that, we've yet to see. Josh Langford has been the player for me that we've really yet to see how high his potential truly is, I should say. So, but you mentioned Nick Ward. Nick Ward's scoring down low. He was getting to the free throw line. Got to make your free throws. He missed a few early on, but, that changed as the game went on. But Nick Ward, he slimmed down. He was very active on both ends of the floor, had some block shots in that game as well. He looked like the guy for that Michigan State offense, and that's something that you want to see, especially in a guy who, again, he did flirt with the NBA draft, and I think that's going to pay off for him in knowing what to improve on if he indeed wants to be a high NBA draft pick come next year. Foster Lawyer coming in. I think Foster Lawyer is going to be a solid backup point guard for Tom Izzo's team. Think about Foster, though. When you look at Foster's frame, he's small. Foster's small. And there was a moment in that game where Naba Echols, nails a three-pointer right in his eye hole. And a timeout is called, and Tom Izzo directly goes to Foster. And I thought it was good defense, but again, I'm not Tom Izzo. I thought it was solid defense. I don't know what more Foster could do on that play. I thought he was right here in his face. Timeout is called. Tom Izzo didn't like it, and he chews into Foster for what I'm assuming was his lack of defensive effort on that play, or again, could have been improved defensive effort in the eyes of Tom Izzo there. But overall, I think Foster, with his frame, it's going to be interesting when he does go against bigger guards in the Big Ten. But, Foster, his court vision, that's God-given stuff. I mean, I saw a few times, and even just real small stuff, when Northern Michigan did go to that 2-3 zone, right, i.e. Syracuse. I'm sorry, Spartan fans, to bring that up. But they did go to a zone, and Foster had a few times where he looked one way and then throw to the middle and would catch the Northern Michigan defense totally off guard. He had a really nice lob to Nick Ward. Foster Lawyer has great court vision, and he has great command of the basketball when he's out there. You mentioned Aaron Henry. He's fun to watch. I think Aaron is going to be, again, a regular part of this this rotation. And Cassius Winston running this offense. We saw Cassius a few times finish on the fast break, getting out and just taking it right to the basket and finishing. And we all know Cassius, how much he improved that jump shot, coming off his freshman campaign. I think he led the Big Ten in three-point percentage, field goal percentage last year. Became one of the best three-point shooters in the nation. It's up to Cassius. This is what I said last year as well. When Cassius plays good, Michigan State wins. It starts with him. Tom Izzo talked multiple times last year, teams are looking at us and saying, all right, if we can cut off the head, the body's going to die. Cassius Winston is the head. He has to play good night in and night out. And that he's going to be really the key for the Spartans this season, I think, Justin.
Yeah, and one of the things I was looking for him, especially with the stats that we saw from their secret scrimmage against Gonzaga, is he had 6 turnovers in that game. And that's maybe been a little bit of an Achilles heel throughout his career is maybe too many turnovers. And he was pretty solid in that regard against Northern Michigan, only 2. And so if he cannot turn over the ball, I mean, his offense stacks up with any point guard in the country.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Cassius is that kind of a guy.
And just going back to that Foster Lawyer comment, and like you said, his offense is, I mean, incredible.
He's solid.
Yeah.
He's solid.
And his playing time and the ability for him to improve is going to rely on how well he does on the defensive end of the court. I don't know if you noticed when you were at the game, but Matt McQuaid was actually the second point guard off the bench.
He was.
So, yeah. I mean, if that signifies where Lawyer stacks up defensively, is that he may not be the second guy.
That'd be interesting. It's going to be interesting how he because, again, the 2 takeaways from that Gonzaga scrimmage were, again, the turnovers and the guard play has to improve. So Izzo's going to be trying some different lineups as far as the guards are concerned, especially here at the beginning of the season.
And McQuaid has experience at that point guard position. He played a freshman year, and most people recall the pretty good game he had against Kansas in that Champions Classic his freshman year at the point guard position.
Also want to note Thomas Kithier, who hasn't played a meaningful basketball game in like 2 years because we all know the drama with the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Thomas trying to link up with his buddy Foster Lawyer at Clarkson. You know, we had Jeff Kimmerly of the MHSAA on when that story broke that Kithier was going to be ruled ineligible for that entire year. I didn't agree with it. I thought it was a silly rule. But, again, Thomas has not played a meaningful basketball game until this Northern Michigan game, and he had, like, 2 dunks on the break. I'm curious to see just how good Thomas Kithier is because, you know, I didn't get a chance to – none of us got a chance to evaluate him in his senior year of high school hoops.
And because he didn't get to play on media day, Tom Izzo said that he's really the question mark of this team right now.
Because
you haven't seen him in two years, you know, what can he really bring?
Right, exactly. All right, before we hit this first break, I want to bring this story to you all because details – concerning a Michigan State University report on former alumni executive director Scott Westerman are now public. I want to go to a summary of this report courtesy of WKAR digital news director Reginald Hardwick.
As reported by WLNS-TV and the Lansing State Journal, an MSU investigation concluded Scott Westerman engaged in severe, persistent, and pervasive unwelcome sexual conduct against a woman who filed a complaint against him. The woman says Westerman became her mentor starting in 2010. He gave her money and presents. The report says Westerman sent her texts and articles on sexual topics, and in 2011, she claims he made sexual advances toward her in a hotel room. Westerman told investigators the relationship was never romantic. As for the hotel incident, Westerman said, quote, "I don't remember, but I wouldn't have done that." The woman came forward in February of this year after Westerman asked her to reach out to a campus sexual assault prevention program. Westerman retired from leading MSU's Alumni Association last spring and has not been on campus since April. He will not face disciplinary action. In August, Westerman told WKAR News he disagrees with the finding and regrets the distraction it has caused. He concluded, quote, "I no longer work for the institution and will have no further comments," end quote. In East Lansing, Reginald Hardwick, WKAR News.
Thank you for that update, Reg. Former alumni executive director Scott Westerman. Details of a Michigan State University report have been made public. And as you just heard, the investigation concluded that Westerman did engage in severe, persistent, and pervasive unwelcome sexual conduct against a woman who filed a complaint against him. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll take a few of your calls, and we hope to have on the line coming from the West Coast,
Darren Weiss, former MSU women's basketball scout team player, that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, I also want to give a big shout out to Derrick Rose, who had one incredible game last night. You know, he was very emotional after scoring a career high 50 points and also had a game-winning block in that win for the Minnesota Timberwolves against the Utah Jazz last night, a 128-125 final. I saw LeBron James and many in the basketball world giving a big shout-out to Derrick Rose because this dude has been through a lot. We all know about the knee injuries, right? This guy was at the top of his game, arguably the best player in the NBA at one point when he was balling out with the Chicago Bulls. On top of the world, a former NBA MVP. Then those knee injuries happened, and he just could not get back to that same form. So having a career high 50 points and a game winning block, Timberwolves win. This dude has come a long way, and he deserved all of the positive shout outs that he got and is still getting since that performance last night. So shout out to D Rose. Hopefully he stays healthy and continues his tear throughout the year. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Darren Weiss, former MSU women's basketball scout team player, a dear friend of the show, now an actor out in California. Darren, first off, welcome, and I know you're enjoying that weather. Quite the contrast from what we're experiencing here in EL.
Oh, Al Martin, what's up, my man? Appreciate you coming on. Yeah, it's just after 10:30 here in LA, and it's already 75 and sunny, not a cloud in the sky, so no points on my end.
Beautiful. Soak it up, brother. I know you're loving it out there. And again, we have you on today. I think it's fitting because tonight will be the very official start now for Susie Merchant's MSU women's basketball team as they open up with an exhibition against Hillsdale College. I'll be in the house to witness that one later on at the Breslin. You, of course, are a former MSU women's basketball scout team player. Darren, how often do you kind of have flashbacks to your time being a part of the MSU women's basketball scout team?
You know, Al, it's funny because I follow a lot of the girls on Instagram and we're still friends. And whenever the women's basketball program posts, a video on Instagram and I see all the current scout guys, it gets me thinking of all the great times I had for those 3 years that I was a part of the program. And just really, I want to go back.
I'm sure. And for those that don't know, Darren, they may be tuning in and hearing you for the very first time. How did you become a member of the MSU women's basketball scout team? And what does exactly the scout team do?
Yeah, so my sophomore year, it was 2013. I saw a flyer, something online that said Michigan State women's basketball scout team tryout, 6 a.m. Breslin Center. And I'm like, what is this? And I called the office and I sort of asked them, and they basically said what a scout team player does is you practice against the girls team. And let's say, we're playing Hillsdale tonight, right? So let's say we're playing Hillsdale. We watch film on Hillsdale, learn their plays, and we get assigned a player from Hillsdale. So I was usually the point guard or shooting guard. And, if the point guard were to come off the screen and shoot jump shots and not really drive to the hole, or, she would rebound more, that's what I would sort of have to emulate in practice.
And you know what? It's fitting because, as I mentioned, you are now an actor out in L.A., and that's essentially what you're doing
as a scout team player, when you're assigned a player when it comes to whatever opposition MSU women's basketball is preparing for in that game, as a scout team player, you have to embody the gameplay of that player that you're assigned to. So in reality, you're really an actor on the basketball court, right, Darren?
Yeah, absolutely. It goes hand in hand. You know, you need to memorize the plays that the other teams are running. You know, if I'm the point guard and I shoot a three and Susie Merchant says, hold on, she hasn't shot a three all season, why are you shooting threes? That's not what she's going to do. It's sort of the same thing. If I don't know my lines in a certain scene or a play or a commercial or a movie, you know, it would screw everything up. So it absolutely goes hand in hand, and that's a great analogy, Al.
And for you, Darren, what was that preparation like? As a scout team member, how much film did you watch of that player that you are or were portraying? And who are some of the bigger names in Big Ten women's basketball that you got a chance to emulate while practicing with the team?
Man, it was crazy. I felt like I knew these girls that I was pretending to be better than, like, most of the world. I knew everything. I mean, we watched film every day. We knew all their stats. I got to be Kelsey Mitchell one day in practice. That was pretty fun. Basically, it was just green light after I passed half court. So I was pulling up from 30, 35 feet. So that was cool. And then who was that stud at Minnesota? What, Rachel Banna, maybe?
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, Kobe gave a shout-out to her when she was tearing it up during her time at Minnesota and called her, like, he gave her the title of having the Mamba mentality. She was really good, really good. So you got a chance to be Rachel Banna.
Yeah, so it was Rachel was just strong, crashed the board, but like a guard mentality, sort of like Tori Jankowska, who used to play for Michigan State, just sort of could do it all, sort of like an Ariel Powers, another girl. There was a Jewel Lloyd, she's in the WNBA now. I think she played at Notre Dame. She was just a do-it-all point guard, very just never turned the ball over, and I had some problems with that one practice. I was Jewel Lloyd, and I had more turnovers in one practice than she had, like, in four games combined. So I didn't do my job that day. But, yeah, it was really cool. Kelsey Mitchell was definitely the most fun, just pulling up from anywhere.
That's amazing stuff. And you know, Darren, I want to ask this. I don't think I've asked you this from the time we've had you on the show, but can you kind of take us into what it's like, you know, watching Susie Merchant man her program? I mean, what makes Susie Merchant such a special coach, and what's her preparation like? How close you got a chance to become while a member of the scout team?
Yeah, Susie is one of the most prepared coaches that I've ever been around. She walks right in, you know, before practice starts, the other assistant coaches are there and the players, you know, shots up or stretching. And once she walks in the gym, it's just pedal to the metal, just go, go, go. And, you know, she gets the ultimate respect when she walks into the gym. And I think one thing that she's very good at is situational basketball. And what I mean by that is she's overly prepared for every situation in a game. If you're down to taking it out of bounds under the basket compared to the sideline, she'll have different plays set up. If you're up three with three seconds left, she knows what she wants to do. If she wants to foul or defend, she knows she's overly prepared, and she knows what she wants. And when she sees something that she likes, she's just going to pound it out in practice until the team gets it. And it was really cool working with her and getting to know her. And on a personal basis, I mean, she's one of the sweetest, kindest people I've been around. She always cares for other people. What can I do for them? Not what can you do for me? And I think that goes a long way, especially as a coach.
Without a doubt. You know, that's something that I've always admired, you know, not just when it comes to Susie, but also Tom Izzo, because when you're at practice, and just as a media member, when I'm watching Susie Merchant practice and when I'm watching Tom Izzo go through a practice, they are ridiculously intense, and they will chew you out. They are not afraid to call you out. You know, some people may say it's humiliating, but at the end of the day, you know, after practice, I've seen, you know, Susie chew a player out, and then after practice, hey, you know, let's talk about this and give him a hug. You know, and same thing with Tom Izzo. I've seen Tom Izzo during practice chew out a player, and then after it's like, hey, man, come here, let's talk. You know, he'll put his arm around that player, and they talk it out, and then it's a hug. I mean, it's got to be it's so interesting watching that balancing act, right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like the players understand that, look, coach is just doing his or her job, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's crazy. I mean, I've been in practices where people have broken down and started crying and had to be taken off to the sideline, and there was one instance in particular, and I won't mention the player's name, but she was a big, and it was a switch, so I had to switch onto the big, and she was posting me up, and she could not score for whatever reason, a little putback. And Susie literally said, everyone get off the court except for Darren and this player. And they literally fed her the ball until she could make, like, a turnaround post-up on me five times in a row. And it was, I felt really, really bad for her. But at the same time, Susie's like, you better not take it easy on her. So I've been there, and it's crazy, man. It's just, it's so intense.
It is. It is. But at the end of the day, it's all love. I'm pretty sure, you know, afterwards, Susie Merchant maybe had a talk with that unnamed player, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's all love. And we were joking about it afterwards. And I sort of told the player, I'm like, you know, I was following you a little bit, and they weren't calling it, you know, giving you a hard time down there. So, yeah, I mean, the only reason she did that was, you know, so she could get better. So, I mean, you know, she could be tough sometimes, but at the end of the day, she's doing what's in your best interest.
Yeah, for sure. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Darren Weiss, former MSU women's basketball scout team player. Darren, as far as the scout team goes, I know you have to have a pretty good basketball background. You have to be a solid player in order to make the scout team. For those that don't know, what is your basketball past like? Because I know you went to Andover High School, right?
I did, and I only played 1 year at Andover. I was actually I played 4 years of soccer, 4 years of golf, and that sort of consumed my time, and I always played basketball. But to be honest with you, Al, I didn't really start to peak in basketball until after I graduated high school. I played 1 year, junior year. I decided not to play senior year. And then at Michigan State, I just went up to the gym every day and started playing, and I just got really, really good. And I tried out from there for the scout team. And then once I made the scout team, I mean, when you're playing against D1 athletes, even the opposite sex, I mean, they're so strong, so athletic, you're just going to get better by playing with better players, you know? And
yeah.
And I got better sort of as time went on. And it was I was lucky. I sort of peaked. Right at the right time, right when they needed me.
Definitely. And I played with you, you know, one time. I remember when you invited me out to play with the MSU women's basketball team. It was like an open practice, right? Well, not even a practice. It was just like an open gym, basically, right?
It was an open gym right before the season started. There was probably, I think there was maybe one or two guys, if I'm not mistaken. I think Tom might have been playing in that. And then Tori Jankowska and a couple other guards. I said, Al, let's see if you still got some game, which... For the people listening out there, Al Martin has some serious game, folks. But,
well, thank you, man. Well, you know, I love hoops.
Time.
Yeah, it was a good time. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, I remember one memory that really stands out. Well, we beat Tory's team. And, you know, I love talking trash. And we're walking to the water fountains. And I'm talking to Tory like, Tory, I got you there. And she gave me a stare down that would, like, I thought I was going to, like, cry, man. I'm joking. But, she, you know, she gave, like, this real intense stare down and said an unkind word. And we just kind of, all right. And we walked to the water fountain. It was, yeah, she's in, Tori Jankowska is so competitive. And I love it, man. I love it.
You have a way with the ladies, Al.
On the basketball court, right? Yeah, no. Yeah, but that's just Tori, right? I mean, Tori was just, she has to be one of the most competitive players that you ever played with, Darren.
Oh, men, women, pros, college, high school. Tori Jankowska was probably top two or three most competitive I've ever played with. It wouldn't matter if it was a practice or if it was a game. It wouldn't even matter if it was shoot around. She was always wanting to compete. Always, you know, let's see who can make more threes out of five shots.
Right.
You know, and even in these pickup games, she would go so hard. And I just think that speaks to her competitive spirit and sort of the Michigan State mantra, just be a dog, you know, and she's just such a dog, and she just loved just contact. She just loved getting in there and just, you know, playing. And, you know, it's hard to find that in a girl. You can't teach that. You're either born with it or you're not.
That's so true, and Tori Jankowska definitely born with it. All right, because of time, Darren, we got to bid you adieu, my man, but just give us a quick update on how things are going out in Cali when it comes to your acting endeavors, my man.
Absolutely. It's been a great year. 2018, I've been cast in two feature films. The first one called Bad Impulse. It's a horror thriller film. The second one called Donnie's Party. It's a comedy. Mm-hmm. They will both be out in 2019. I'll give you updates, Al, and maybe I'll come on again and when it gets closer to the release. I've been on a couple soap operas, The Young and the Restless, and two episodes of Days of Our Lives, and and a couple plays. So it's been really great, and I'm still getting some time in once a week to play some ball.
That's amazing. Keep up the outstanding work, and we'll definitely have you back on, Darren, when those films get close to coming out, all right?
All right, thanks for having me, L. You're the man.
You are the man, all right? Darren Weiss, former MSU women's basketball scout team player, now an actor out in Los Angeles, California. And you know what? Right now, we have less than 10 minutes left, but I want to get this brother on. We actually have him right now. Deshaun Tate, he's a dear friend of the show. We haven't had him on in a while, but, you know, you're going to start to hear his voice quite often here on our airwaves because it is college basketball season. And Deshaun Tate is a college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. And I want to have Deshaun on because he hit me up in light of the news that Malik Hall would be coming to play for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball program. He just committed today, four-star forward out of Sunrise Christian in Wichita, Kansas. And Deshaun, you've gotten a chance to check out the game of Malik Hall. Deshaun, welcome to the show. And what kind of player is Malik Hall?
Hey, thanks for having me, Al. I really appreciate you for having me on. I did have the opportunity to check him out. And if I'm not mistaken, Sunrise Christian is the same program that produced a couple of the former a couple guys that played at Michigan State with Lou Ross, Tum Tum Nairn, if I'm not mistaken. I think
right.
There's one other guy. I can't say exactly. But just a couple of things that I just kind of noticed about him is that, you know, I saw probably about two or three games of his, and he's a good player. I wouldn't go as far as calling him a really good player just yet. He's still raw. Let's not forget he's going to be coming in as a freshman, and some guys are going to exceed the expectations. I don't think that he will do that. I don't think he's necessarily a guy that will win you games, although I think he's the type of player that also will not lose you games. But he's definitely a good player. He's going to have a learning curve, and I think that's just going to come along with every single freshman that enters any campus, just about, with the exception of very, very key very few guys that have that opportunity to be pretty much an NBA player but have no choice but to play on a college campus. Mm-hmm. But he comes from a top program, a good quality program with good quality coaches. He's competitive. He works hard. He has really good size. And he's a balanced shooter and driver. He's not a guy that's just going to be strictly a three-point shooter on the perimeter. He's also not a guy that's just going to drive. If you remember a guy like Chris Allen, and I'm not saying he's as good as Chris Allen, nor that he's worse than Chris Allen, a product out of Georgia that ended up playing at Michigan State for a few years before he ended up leaving or getting dismissed from the team and going over to Iowa State. He had a really good balance. Of course, he was considered to be more of a shooter. They wanted him to be the best thing since sliced bread and Sean Respert. But he did have a better driving game than he was given the opportunity by Tom Izzo. I think that they are kind of very, very similar in those ways. He's, in addition to that, he's probably average from a defensive standpoint, maybe slightly above average, but not too much. That's something that he's going to have to work on, obviously, if he doesn't want to be sitting on the bench next to T.I.,
and you know what? He's 6'7". And as far you mentioned his defensive game and how that needs to improve, and that's going to get better naturally being under Tom Izzo. But as far as his offensive game, what do you say are his best attributes offensively?
Well, I mean, the thing about him and that I like about him is just that he's very sound and very solid. He reminds me, and of course, I don't want to get too carried away with the comparison to a Lansing native like Denzel Valentine, who was really good, but in the sense of the fact that Denzel, with the things that he was good, he was really good at a lot of things. But I don't really think that Denzel Valentine was really great at just one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what this guy is. He's really good at multiple things. He can shoot the ball. He can score the ball in general. He can take it to the cup. And he's not a bad passer. He's obviously not the passer that Denzel Valentine was. So don't get him mistaken. But he's still not a bad passer. He's not a guy like if you have a Matt McQuaid, who I think there's going to be situations where he may have to end up playing point guard.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, coming up this year, I like to think he's a little bit more ideal of a guy that you can put in that position. Yeah, he's got a good size on him, 6'6", 6'7",
something like that, that can play it by committee, if you will. But he's not your ideal point guard of the future or anything. But if you need a guy to bring the ball up, not going to make a lot of mistakes, not going to turn it over like crazy, and just to set up your offense, he's one of the guys that can certainly do that. He doesn't have the highest of IQs, but he doesn't have a poor IQ either. He's also not really like an emotional leader, and he's not really explosive. But he is a very good and sound basketball player. Should work out well for T.I.M. Spartans.
Okay, so just solid all around. And you know what? He joins, as you know, Deshaun, he joins former old Redford Academy and current Spire Academy out in Ohio guard, Mark Rocket Watts. What do you know about Mark Watts? You know much about Mark Watts at all?
I can't say that I know a ton. I did have some opportunity to check out the family in Detroit when I was around the AAU circuit a little bit over the summer. And he was really good, obviously, and stepped his game up from where he was the past couple years. So I do know enough to know that he's improving. He's been working on his game, developing a little bit more of a consistent jump shot. But I like to think that he's a much better ball handler than people may give him credit for, or maybe not necessarily give him credit for, but he's every bit of advertised for people that say that he's a really good ball handler. And so from that standpoint, I do see a lot of speed. I mean, the guy's name isn't Rocket for no reason. You do see a ton of speed, and that's something that I think can help. But we all know that speed isn't one of those things that is going to result in adding a number to the left side of the result column, nor is it going to put points on the board. And I think that was one of the things that we saw out of Tum Tum there, unfortunately.
All right. Well, Deshaun, thank you so much for joining us on such short notice. Really appreciate your analysis of, again, the newest recruit of the 2019 MSU men's basketball recruiting class, Malik Hall. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta. Deshaun, we'll be keeping in touch, man. We're going to try to get you on next week to kind of preview and recap whatever happens in that Michigan State and Kansas matchup, all right?
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Al.
All right. Deshaun Tate, busy show, and much love to Darren Weiss for joining us, Justin Frommer in studio, Jack Kerwin behind the glass. We'll see you same time, same place on the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And again, I'll be covering tonight's Michigan State women's basketball matchup as Susie Merchant and her Spartans open up the season against Hillsdale College. We'll have coverage from that game on tomorrow's show as well. Until then, I'm Al Martin reminding you all to be easy, people.